Welcome to the IRS Problems Podcast with Mike Evans and Certified Tax Resolution Specialist Todd Whalen. Mike and Todd will discuss listeners' questions and common problems you might face dealing with the IRS.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the IRS Problems Podcast. I'm Mike Evans along with Todd Whalen from Advanced Tax Solutions. And Todd, we've been talking over the last couple of podcasts about how knowledge is power when it comes to dealing with the IRS and the enormous power, unchecked power that they wield. What would you advise? What kind of power do you have? What kind of knowledge is important when you're talking about getting audited by the IRS?
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about their power in this situation. It is interesting. So if you file a tax return and the IRS audits you, they're presumed to be right. So if they make changes to your tax return, and they can, I mean, they can make changes and you can't stop them, right? If they say, oh, I disagree with this, or I don't like that, or what kind of exemption is this? Let's deny it. They deny it. That's their report. And then they send you a bill. So they can make changes to your return any way they want and then send you a bill. And once you get that bill, a notice of changes, then you can file an appeal. And that appeal, once again, goes to the IRS again. But the big deal on this, this is where I think it's interesting that I would have never guessed. You know how in most cases you're innocent until proven guilty, right? When you go to court, you're, for anything, you know, you're innocent until they prove you guilty. The tax court's the only one I know of, and it realistically may be, that you're guilty till you're proven innocent. That when your case goes before the tax court because the IRS changed your tax return, the burden of proof is on you and not them. I think that's interesting. That if it's 50-50, you lose. You have to have 51% or 50 point something. You have to have more evidence for you than they have, because neutral, you lose, because the burden of proof is on you to prove them wrong. No other court can do that. The IRS has tremendous powers. I couldn't do that to you. By the way, Mike, you know, here's a bill. I'm going to, you know, you owe me all this money. Now you got to prove me wrong? That doesn't work.
How do you do that?
Yeah, I wish I could.
How do you prove that? If the IRS, if you find yourself in a situation where now the IRS is saying, you got to prove it. We don't have to prove it. You have to prove it. What do you come up with?
Well, at that level, at that point, now, if there's something ridiculous, like they're saying you didn't have this expense, you show up with a receipt or a canceled check or something. And then, so that's some evidence for you, but then they may be like, well, that canceled check won't work because, you know, you could have bought something else, so I need a receipt, you know, and you know, once again, then it's back on you to provide. But most court cases, that's not the issue. It's an issue of law. So now how do you prove it? Well, this is why attorneys, or I'm licensed before the tax court, but I do collections mostly. I don't do audit. I mean, I've done it and I do it, but my passion is for collection matters. But you look at tax court cases. And basically, you're trying to find more and stronger tax court cases that support your belief. And meanwhile, the IRS's attorneys are on the other side getting all the tax court cases contrary to what, you know, well, that support their position contrary to you. And interestingly, you know, if, you know, tax court's interesting, it's different. Like in a murder case, this would never happen. But in a tax court case, if you come across a case that's on point that is against you, you have to tell them. You have to tell the court.
Jeez.
Isn't that it?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I found something that basically ruins my case. So here you go.
Yeah, here you go.
By the way, you're the one, and what? You now have to go to a library and look at a lot of big leather-bound books, and you got to – no, what you're doing now, you're dealing with the IRS, and now you got to go what? Hire a lawyer to do this, or reach out to you to do this kind of stuff? My goodness, it just gets you. You tangle. It's like, you know, the sweater. You tangle on one loose thread, and pretty soon the whole thing is unraveling.
Yeah. Now, this is something that's not, this would not be DIY at all.
You
do it yourself. What's that saying? He who represents himself has a fool for a client.
Yeah.
The truth there. And yeah, it's research intensive big time. And now most of it's done on the, there's actually tax law libraries that you can do search electronically. Otherwise, it used to be you actually had a book, a reference book, and you'd find this tax court case and read it, and it would refer to this tax court case. But now you can bring them all up and read them. And then you're trying to differentiate yourself. Your case is different from their case based on this differentiation. So even though this case was against you, it's not on point. All my cases are right on point and they support it. That's kind of the, you're just looking at tax court cases. And then, I mean, it gets pretty complicated because a tax court case in our circuit has more weight than tax court cases in other circuits. And if there's only tax court cases against you, then you're going to get in trouble for even filing the dang thing. So it gets pretty convoluted. And I'll do that for our clients. I will help our clients, but please don't contact me to ask. I won't do it for somebody. It's very unenjoyable work for me. I'd much rather deal with collections. But sometimes in that process, we end up with this. And so we file it. I would be more than happy to file a tax court petition on a collection matter. You know what I mean? But, I don't spend my life in audit. I just have to deal with it sometimes.
Just curious, because the whole idea, it doesn't take long once you start paying taxes to the idea that, oh my God, I don't want to get audited, right? You're doing your taxes, you're paying your taxes, you're turning your taxes in. What do you have to do to get audited? What do you want to avoid that can lead to an audit?
Well, most of the time when I see somebody get audited, I can, within a minute, they bring their tax return. I look at the face of the tax return and I'm like, what's this? Mm-hmm. This is why you got audited. So one thing is just, make sure that you know what you're doing when you prepare a tax return. Don't put something on the wrong line, and don't again, like you said last podcast, don't draw attention to yourself.
Right.
It is a little bit of the luck of the draw. They have a thing called DIF scores, and they won't tell you what they are, but those DIF scores are like, okay, business use of a home, you have a more likely hat of being audited. You're self-employed Schedule C, you have a much more likelihood of getting an audit. And so they kind of add up all of these things. You have high unusual charitable contributions, you're more likely. Okay. And so they have those kinds of things. But then there's this one, the dreaded one, that they just pick you randomly.
Oh.
And they're going to make a statistical sampling out of you to see where you've cheated, so they can go to other people. And if you're that guy, they're going to go through everything.
Oh.
Everything. There's not like an issue. It's all an issue. And it's horrible.
So you'd rather just be
dead.
You'd rather earn the right to be audited than just be luck of the draw audited.
Yeah. If you earn the right, basically, you ask them. It's like saying, dear IRS, please audit me.
Yeah.
And while that sucks, that's nothing compared to, dear taxpayer, we've randomly chosen you. We're going to look at every little thing, because what we want to do is we're going to use everything we find on you, and we're going to assume everybody's that way. And this is what we're going to start looking at on everybody.
Oh, you're the test dummy. You're the,
You're the crash test dummy. Yeah.
Remember that the next time you get your jury summons, it could be a lot worse. Okay.
Right.
It could be a lot worse. It's one thing to randomly get picked to serve on jury duty. It's quite another to be randomly picked to get audited. So yeah, that would be a real kick in the, man. Wow.
There's one interesting thing. The IRS actually, you know, we actually, for some of our clients, will monitor the codes that the IRS are putting in. Do you know, like 6 months to a year before you get audited, the IRS puts a code in your computer, in their computer. So if you are monitoring those codes, in other words, you're actively, we have programs that track it. And if a code changes on one of our active clients, we see it. But if you get that code and you have some aggressive things on your tax return, you can actually amend the return, and it's called a qualified amendment. So you can do an amendment and avoid the penalties, because if they find it, they're going to charge you all these kind of different penalties. But if you amend it, you avoid the penalties. So some people, if you have returns out there that you're worried about, you may want to kind of get set up to track the changes of code, so you know if you've been selected to audit, and then you can actually hurry up and amend your return and avoid the big penalties that they issue if they catch you. So if you voluntarily correct it before they send you an audit notice, then it counts. Once you get the audit notice, if you credit, they still charge you the same penalties. So you have to do it before they notify you, but they put it in their computer 6 months before they do. It's interesting, isn't it?
No, it's terrifying, Todd. And I swear sometimes when we have these conversations, I forget the fact that we're doing them for other people. And I just start thinking about my own cases and my own situation. I'm like, good Lord, I hope this doesn't happen to me. Because I sometimes when we get done talking, I'm like, are we in the Matrix? You know, did I get in the Matrix and I wasn't aware of it, you know, blue pill, red pill, whatever. Okay. That's why he's here, folks, to answer these kind of questions and shine a light, hopefully provide some assistance and probably terrify you in the same breath as well. So I know I'm at times terrified. For all of your tax needs, please go to denverfan.com/tax and you can download questions there that we can answer during the course of the IRS Problems podcast. Or if it's something that you think you can handle on your own with a little bit of assistance from Todd, reach out to DIYIRSHelp.com. Or if it's something that you just think, hey, I need a pro's help and I need Todd's help, you can reach out to AdvancedTaxSolutions.com, correct?
Yeah, AdvancedTaxSolutions.com or call. But I do want to say something because I am scaring people. I deal with the worst stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of IRS agents are very cool and they're not all out to get you, but I help people who've already been gotten. So they're not necessarily, you know, they're usually tougher cases, but you know, the IRS really just wants you to file your taxes and pay your taxes. And for the most part, they're pretty decent about it, but you get the loose cannon or the wild circumstance and it's a wild ride.
Yeah, and that just random audit just sent a chill down my spine. I'm not going to lie. Okay, it just sent a chill down my spine. So knock on wood, say your prayers and hope you don't get that. Hello, John Q. Citizen. You've been the lucky winner. I can't win the lottery, right? I can't win the lottery, but I can get picked to be a random audit. That would just be my luck. Again, thank you so much for tuning into the IRS Problems Podcast. For Todd Whalen, I'm Mike Evans. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the IRS Problems Podcast. If you have a question you'd like answered, please post your question at denverfan.com/tax.